Well, my voice is going out a little bit, so I've been drinking quite a bit of water. So about an hour and a half in, we'll do our first intermission, and we'll go from there. So just bear with my voice a little bit. And I already told Lori this morning that, and if you were here on Wednesday night, you know I'm pretty excited about what I'm going to share with you this morning. So probably be hopping all over. So if you have your bulletin, there's an outline on the back. If I miss something because I get too excited and I go way off my notes, which typically happens, I'll come back to it, I promise. But so, like I said, fortunately or unfortunately, you get me for the sermon as well this morning. Pastor Jim and Janie are still in Missouri celebrating Audra and Ross's wedding. It looked beautiful, and it sounds like everybody had a great time. And so they'll be traveling back this week, as long as Pastor Sarah is in Florida for a conference. So just keep them in your prayers for traveling mercies as they come back this week. If you were here last time I preached, we talked about a couple things. And one thing that we talked about was the courses I was taking at Tribeca Nazarene University, and how a couple of those courses talk about different preaching styles, different presenting styles, and they always say that you need an illustration or a prop. You know, it helps everybody connect with what your message is and what you're wanting to say. And so last time I used the Alamo, and we talked about the soldiers at the Alamo and how great that event was and how I kind of liked it because Jim Bowie was there, and if you know anything about him, he's the guy who made the Bowie knife. And I said in that message, I said, you know, I wish I would have had a Bowie knife to bring as a prop, an illustration for you guys. I've always wanted one. I talked with Pastor Jim that week about it, and I was showing him that Winchester makes this generic knockoff Bowie knife. And I was like, one of these days I'm going to buy it. I'm going to hang it up right here in the office so we can always remember that. Well, I'm just so thankful for Pastor Jim. I'm just thankful for who he is, how he shepherds the church, how I'm thankful that I get to train under him and everything he does for me. But Pastor Jim went and he bought me that Bowie knife, that Winchester Bowie knife, and I was so thankful. He said, you know, I just appreciated your sermon. I appreciated you doing it. It was great. So today's illustration is a 2020 Chevy Silverado HD Z71. So Todd's not here this morning, so I'll make sure he tells Pastor Jim that that was our prop and illustration for this morning. But in all seriousness, before I get myself in too much trouble, let's pray. Jesus, I just thank you this morning. As we approach Thanksgiving and we approach this time of thankfulness, I can't help but have an overwhelming heart full of thankfulness, Lord. I'm thankful for the opportunity to share your word this morning. I'm thankful for your word. But Jesus, I'm thankful greater for what you did on the cross. Amen. I'm thankful for the identity that we can have in you, the freedom that we can have in you, and the hope that we can have in you. Jesus, I ask that you set me aside this morning and that you continue to move, Lord. I felt your presence in worship. I felt your presence through the testimonies, Lord. Scripture tells us you go before us. I know you've prepped the fields, Lord. Move this morning. We're waiting. In Jesus' name, amen. So November 9th, 2019, pretty special day. That would be Erica's birthday. And I won't tell you how old she turned. She was 30. So a big deal, right? So her 30th birthday, and we were celebrating. Well, that morning, we got a call, and the call was from Navy Federal Credit Union. And I didn't think anything of it because, you know, all the other banks that we banked with had called to wish her a happy birthday. So I was just assuming that's what it was. But Erica comes into the room, and she puts her phone on speakerphone. She says, hey, you need to hear this. And so the lady on the other end starts telling us that, or asked Erica, says, hey, are you making purchases right now? You know, are you making a lot of purchases right now? And Erica's like, nope, we're just relaxing at home. And so they put a lock on Erica's account because what had happened was somebody somehow had got her credentials and was trying to steal her identity and was making all these outlandish purchases. Thankfully, they had fraud systems in place that, you know, they tripped immediately to say, hey, this isn't typically what Erica spends her money on and what she does. And they really weren't that smart because there's a whole lot better identities and bank accounts to try to break into than ours. But they did. And so they were trying to commit identity fraud. Has anybody in here ever had their identity stolen before? A couple people, right? It's not fun. It's a process. It's pretty scary. And you have to go through and they have to verify that it's actually you they're talking to on the phone at that point. And it's a big ordeal. So a couple of you guys raised your hands that you'd had your identity stolen. But by a show of hands, how many people have stolen an identity? Nobody? Yeah, we'd need an altar call right now, right? But what if I wanted to tell you that at some point in our life, we've all committed identity fraud? What if I wanted to tell you that it's possible, even this morning, somebody could be committing identity fraud? And what I mean by that, and what Scripture tells me, and if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Ephesians 1, and we're going to be in Colossians, but I'll be hopping around a little bit. But what I'm telling you right now is that if our identity is in anything other than Jesus Christ, we're committing identity fraud. I'll say that again. If our identity is in anything other than Jesus Christ, we're committing identity fraud. So at some point in our life, it is possible, likely, that we've committed identity fraud. Ephesians 1, 11 through 13. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. I could end right there. This is the Message translation. I'll be hopping between the Message and NIV. But I could end right there. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. That's our identity. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, He had His eye on us, had designs on us for His glorious living, part of the overall purpose He is working out in everything and everyone. What that tells me is that if anything in my life, if my identity is wrapped up in anything other than the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, I'm committing identity fraud. Never probably thought about it like that, had you? I hadn't thought about it until we had the whole identity fraud ordeal with Erica. But the truth is, if our identity is found in anything other than Jesus, Scripture's telling us that we're committing identity fraud. So maybe you're thinking, okay, well, I find my identity in Jesus. I've been walking with Jesus for a while. Well, there's another thing, and I told at the beginning, I talked about two things that I think are really going to speak to us. I really believe God is going to speak to us today. I know He's speaking this truth into my life, but I believe there's going to be two things that you can identify with in this sermon, and one or the other is definitely going to have to speak to your life. So if it's not the identity fraud portion, maybe it's an identity crisis. You know, we live in this time where the enemy is able to twist, pervert, and destroy so many things, yes, including the way that we view ourselves. Mm-hmm. You guys believe that? Because it's true.
Yes, amen.
Have you ever felt fearful? Have you ever felt doubtful? Have you ever felt alone? Have you ever felt shameful? Those are lies from the enemy.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Those are lies about your identity that aren't true. The enemy is going to use that. If you were here two Wednesday nights ago, I can't remember. I talked about real estate, right? And we're gonna hop into that a little bit. But you are prime real estate. You are. And you're up for grabs. And if that identity is not found in Jesus, that identity is going to be found in something other than Jesus. There's only two options.
Right.
It's in Jesus or it's not in Jesus, right?
Amen.
So with this identity crisis, the enemy tells you, you're alone. You should be fearful. You should be shameful. You're unworthy. You're all of these things that aren't true. But let me tell you what Scripture tells you. Scripture tells us that you are chosen, that you are adopted, that you are redeemed, that you are forgiven, that you are marked with a seal, and that you have an inheritance through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Maybe you guys didn't hear me. Scripture tells me that you are chosen, that you are adopted, that you are redeemed, that you are forgiven,
right,
you are marked in Him with a seal, and that you have an inheritance through Jesus Christ.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Come on, guys. That's our identity.
Right. Amen.
That's in Ephesians 1, and I'm going to read this for you, starting at verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Every spiritual blessing in Christ. Count those blessings. For He chose us, you were chosen, in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, you were loved. He predestined us to be adopted. You were adopted by the God of the heavens and the earth. You were adopted by the King of Kings. You were loved. Adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. In Him we have redemption through His blood. You are redeemed. You are redeemed if you accept that.
Amen.
The forgiveness of sins. You are forgiven if you accept that, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding, and He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. Amen. In him we were also chosen, you were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ, there is hope in Christ, yes, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed that you were marked in him with a seal, the promise, the Holy Spirit, who is deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Praise God.
Amen.
That tells me that I have a hope, that I can have a freedom in Jesus that I can't find in anything else.
That's right.
You know, there's a lot of things I love about my life. When, you know, Jeremy was talking about count your blessings. Man, I have so many. I need an extra set of toes, right? I have so many blessings, I can't even count them. I'm thankful for my family. I love Erica dearly. I'm thankful for my boys. I love my boys dearly. I'm thankful for my hobbies. I enjoy spending time in the outdoors. My identity isn't in those things.
That's right, amen.
As great as those things are, as great as Erica really is, as great as my boys are, they're not my identity. My freedom and hope come from Jesus Christ alone. Mm-hmm. That is our identity. So we've got a lot to be thankful for. This Thanksgiving season, as we approach it this Thursday. We really do, but I think this opportunity and identity in Christ might be the number one thing we have to be thankful for. Mm-hmm. You were bought and paid for at a very, very high price.
Yes, amen.
And a person was willing to pay that price. Mm-hmm. So as the devil tries to twist things, mm-hmm, and contort things and pervert things, because it's going to happen maybe to some of you this afternoon. Something's going to happen and somehow doubt's going to creep into your mind. Fear's going to creep into your mind and say, well, maybe I'm not sure of this. And we're going to talk about confidence and coverage here in a little bit as well. But maybe I'm not sure of what Dan's talking about. And he's too excited, right? I know I'm way off notes. I'm sorry. He's too excited. He's too energized. I'm not tracking what he's saying. And it doesn't apply to me. It does apply to you.
Amen.
It applies to every single one of us
this morning.
Amen. And this identity that provides the freedom of all freedoms, the hope of all hopes, it's freely given.
Right.
You know, every time I get the opportunity, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to do this, I always have to go back to that. I started going back to the last three sermons that I've preached here, and it kind of always comes back to my identity in Jesus because I can't think of anything else worth talking about. Especially during the Thanksgiving season. When we're counting our blessings, I'm thankful that Jesus Christ was willing to go to the cross and pay for my sin.
Amen. That's right.
When I was all those things that the devil told me. Mm-hmm. But through Jesus, I don't have to be those things anymore.
That's right.
Are you anxious this morning? Are you stressed this morning? God wants those things. Give them over to him. Wrap your identity in Jesus. Go to the feet of Jesus this morning and give those things to him. Trust me, living in an identity found in Jesus is a whole lot better than anything else. So as the devil twists those things and tells us all those lies, we come back to Ephesians 1 and what Ephesians tells us that we are. We can be redeemed. We can be forgiven. We are loved. We are chosen. You know, Henry Nouwen, is anybody familiar with Henry Nouwen, famous theologian? He said a lot of great things. But one thing that he said that really sticks out to me, and if you've got your bulletin this morning, go ahead and grab it, grab a pen, or borrow your neighbor's pen, because I want you to write this stuff down in the notes section at the bottom. This is what he says, Henry Nouwen. You are the place that God chose to dwell. Think about that this morning.
Powerful.
You are the place that God chose to dwell. Mm-hmm. Now, when you get home, I want you to rip that off and I want you to put it on your mirror. So that way, when you wake up in the morning and brush your teeth or shave, did you notice I trimmed my beard? You can thank Erica for that. I was looking good, I know. Sorry, Leonard. I had to get rid of it. But whenever you're doing your morning routine and you look in the mirror, you're reminded you are the place that God chose to dwell. So under writing that you are the place that God chose to dwell, I want you to write this. I am chosen. I am adopted. I am redeemed. I am forgiven. I am marked. I have an inheritance. And then in big letters, in Jesus Christ. Because you can only have those things in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We can't be forgiven. We can't be redeemed. We can't have the opportunity of the inheritance in heaven if it wasn't for Jesus going to the cross.
Amen.
You guys understand that this morning? It's through Jesus that we get to experience that. But isn't it funny that, you know, as Paul's talking in Ephesians in his letter, he tells us all these great things that we are in Christ. He promises us all these great things that we are in Christ. But then what's he do in chapter 6? We'll get to this here in a minute. And I know that, I know we're all familiar with this, but I think it's something we often forget. You know, I just talked about your morning routine and having that up there on your mirror. Well, this should be part of your morning routine too. First thing you wake up, Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Paul is telling us right there, he knows that the devil's going to try and contort that identity, that he knows he's going to try and twist it and pervert it. So now he's given us the instructions for saying, here, this is how we go to battle. This is how we go to war. You know, this is probably one of the most used sermons, I guess, for children, right? We talk about putting on the armor of God, and I remember a long, long time ago, my dad and Kevin Thomas put on a Bible boot camp, and that was what we did. It was so much fun. And with kids, we always talk about that. You know, hey, you are in God's army. We're marching in God's army. You remember the song, "We're Marching in God's Army"? But as adults and teenagers, do we wake up every morning with the intention of putting on the full armor of God? Do you say every morning, I'm putting on my armor because I know the enemy's going to try and twist my reality today. I know the enemy's going to try and tell me something that's not true. I encourage you to start doing that with your morning routine also. Saying, I'm putting on the helmet. I'm putting on the breastplate. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. It doesn't say with some kinds, it says with all kinds. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. You know, I was talking about real estate just a minute ago. When Eric and I moved out to Colorado, we didn't do it very, very smartly, if you will. So in Virginia, the real estate market, there's just so many places available where we were at. We had no problem renting a house like the day of, I think we got our house. We pulled in, we're like, hey, we like it, let's call it. And they did the check, and we got the house that day. We just assumed Colorado would be the same way. It definitely is not, and that was a bad assumption on my part. And so we ended up staying in a hotel for like a month before we were able to get into a house. Yeah, it was not smart on my part. But I remember we talked to one of the real estate agents out there, and we were going to look at a house just to rent. And we called her, and she's like, yeah, I'll meet you there in 2 hours. I was like, okay. And we're on our way there 2 hours later, and she calls back and says, hey, somebody's already got a deposit in. It's gone. I was like, I just talked to you 2 hours ago. She's like, hey, it's prime real estate. It's going like that. Everybody wants a piece of that. Do you realize that everybody, including the enemy, wants a piece of you?
That's right.
Your identity in Jesus is so valuable. Mm-hmm. If you are the place that God chose to dwell, wouldn't you consider that prime real estate? I'm not going to dwell in anything that I don't think is suitable for my family. Mm-hmm. I don't think the God of everything, the God of creation, the God of all love, the King of Kings, is going to dwell just anywhere. I don't believe that. That's not what Scripture tells me.
Right.
So you are prime real estate. You've got to believe that this morning. You have to know that this morning. How many of you have a credit card?
Just one?
Most of us have credit cards, not all of us. How many of you, if you don't have a credit card, have a debit card? Right? Almost all of us have at least have a debit card. It's kind of hard to operate today without a credit card or debit card. You can't rent a car without a debit or a credit card. I don't know if you guys know that, but it was very, very challenging. Right? So credit card, or CC for short, because this is going to be, I do have a prop for you. I do have an illustration. The truck was just a joke. CC for short, right? So what does a credit card or a CC provide you? It provides you confidence and coverage that you can pay for what you want or need. I didn't say what you can afford. I said it allows you to pay for what you want or need in that moment, not necessarily what you can afford, right? What if I told you that same confidence and coverage we can have in our identity in Christ, right? This is where I'm going to hop over to Ephesians 1:7. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. In him, being Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. That's our biblical confidence and coverage right there, right? That's our biblical CC, if you will. One of my favorite songs is One Thing Remains by Jesus Culture. Is anybody familiar with the song? It's kind of like maybe 6-7 years old. It's kind of old, kind of not new. I would call it new still. But in the song, it says, in death and in life, I'm confident and I'm covered by the power of your great love.
Amen.
In death and in life. And what it's referring to is in Romans 14:8 says, if I live, I live for Christ. If I die, I die for Christ. So whether I live or die, I belong to Christ Jesus. I know that I am confident and covered by his blood.
Amen. Amen.
That's a biblical confidence and coverage we can have right there. So if you live today, you're to live for Jesus. If you die today, you're to die for Jesus. So whether you live or die, you are confident and covered that you are his.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
So I've got something. Could I borrow Joe and Brian real quick? So I'm going to give you a credit card this morning. It goes straight to Pastor Jim's account. No limit. Here you go, Joe. You might need an extra. Here you go. And on this credit card, or CC, it says confident and covered at the top of it. And then it's got Ephesians 1:7, what we just read right there, right? And at the bottom of it, you're going to see, as they're coming around, there's a blank for your name. You can compare this to a regular credit card. I did when I made it, and it's pretty regular. The bottom of it, that's for your name, and that's where you're going to put your name. And then to the right of it, it says good through always. And what that means is that you can always go back to Jesus and find your identity in him. Just as the prodigal son went back to his father, God is waiting on you to find your identity in him. So if your identity isn't in him this morning when you walked in, if maybe your identity was in your job, maybe your identity was in your schooling, maybe your identity was in your family, maybe your identity was in your hobby, this morning we can put our identity in Jesus.
Amen.
This morning, we can be confident and covered. You know, we talked about, this is something else I was learning in school, and Pastor Sarah and Pastor Jim and I were talking about it, about having takeaways, you know, when you preach. And I'm a big fan of that. I always am. And this is your takeaway this morning. This is your, has anybody ever seen the Capital One credit card commercials where they go, it's got the Viking guys, and we haven't had TV in like 7 years, but it's like the Viking guys, and they're like, what's in your wallet, right? What's in your wallet? Put this in your wallet when you leave. Put your name down there. And so when you're going to the store, because now if you do what we've talked about this morning, when you wake up to brush your teeth, you're going to be reminded about who you are in Jesus, right? And then as you go about your day, maybe the enemy's trying to throw all these lies to you about who you are, but you go to lunch, and you go to Subway, and you pull out your wallet, and you're like, oh, okay, I'll put my credit card. Oh, that's my real life credit card right there. So now at midday, you're reminded, or dinner time, whenever, whatever, but throughout your day, you're reminded of who you can be in Jesus. So we're starting our day like that, and now we've got an extra reminder. So I just encourage you to keep that in your wallet. So when somebody in a Viking costume asks what's in your wallet, you are confident and covered. So if you've got your outline, I'll go back and recap because I know I told you guys I was going to get too excited. So we have all committed identity fraud at some point in our lives. You don't have to experience an identity crisis any longer. Through what Paul was teaching us about the armor of God, we must protect this identity that Jesus has given us at the cross. Through Ephesians 1:7, we can tell that we are confident and covered in life because of our identity in Jesus. This identity tells us what to do and what we are able to do and that we are able to be who Christ calls us to be. This is where I'm going to hop around a little bit in Scripture. So this identity tells us what to do. In Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2, says this, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." That means when you accept Jesus, your identity is no longer yourself. You know, Pastor Jim shared last Sunday about the dream he had. Do you guys remember? He talked about the guy that woke up and looked in the mirror and he saw the face of Jesus and he washed his face and Jesus was still there. Got in the car, it's still Jesus. Work, it's still Jesus. That's having our identity in Jesus. What if somebody encounters us this afternoon, and through our actions, through the fruits that we bear, through whatever it is, they can't even recognize us. They can't even recognize us. Well, that's not Dan. I remember Dan, and some of you guys do remember me back in high school, but that's not the Dan I knew. I'm dead. It's no longer me. Amen. It's Christ that lives within me. Amen. Galatians 2:20, for I've been crucified with Christ, and it's Christ that lives within me.
Amen.
My identity is no longer myself.
That's right.
I have a freedom and hope. So yes. I'm going to pick up that cross and be crucified with him.
Yes, amen.
Ephesians 4:22 through 24. You are taught with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Aren't you thankful we have an example in Jesus Christ of what that is?
Yes, amen.
You know, I really get kind of confused at times when people say, well, it's just my human nature. You do realize that Jesus was fully human and fully God. So that means Jesus had a human nature. So Jesus was the example of what true humanity could be. In the flesh, he was the example of what we are capable of being. It tells me right there at the end, to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Aren't you guys thankful we have an example in Jesus?
Amen.
I am. My heart's overwhelmed with thankfulness. It's not you, but it's Christ that lives within you. This identity that we can have in Jesus is something we can be thankful for. I couldn't think of anything else for Thanksgiving, even remotely, that I wanted to talk about. So whether you're committing identity fraud actively right now, or whether you're in an identity crisis, this morning that can change. Mm-hmm. This morning that can change. You can leave here confident and covered by the blood of Jesus. What we read at the beginning right there in Ephesians 1, you can leave here and know and live in the hope that you are adopted by God, that you are loved by God, that you are the place that God chose to dwell.
Yes.
That's something I'm pretty thankful for. Mm-hmm. That's a reminder to me personally that I'm prime real estate. That the enemy wants this wants to dwell here. The enemy wants to take up residence here. But I'm putting on that armor of God and saying, no,
amen.
Nope. I know the freedom. I know the hope mm-hmm. that is in Jesus. Yeah. I know the identity that I can have in Jesus. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be remembered for anything other than a man that talked really loud on Sunday mornings that loved Jesus. That's all I want to be known as, somebody that gets too excited about how much he loves Jesus.
Amen.
Too excited about how much Jesus loves him. That's mm-hmm. better right there. Because as much as he loves me, he loves you guys.
Amen.
He loves the people that we're going to encounter today. Wherever we encounter them. You do realize that, right?
Yes.
When you lock eyes with whoever you lock eyes with today, they are his creation.
Mm-hmm.
All of what we just talked about applies to them. Guys, this is it. If you're Facebook friends with me this week, you saw I put it. This is it. His grace is sufficient. It is. This is it. This is where I want to dwell in his identity and what he's done, that it's no longer me. You know, it's so, going back to Pastor Jim's dream that he had where the guy kept washing his face and looking in the mirror and all he saw was Jesus. It's easy to see what we want to see. It really is. If you start thinking about a yellow car as you drive out of here today, you got a better chance of seeing a yellow car. If you start thinking about opportunity, it's a whole lot easier to see opportunity. If you're thinking about things that make you mad, it's a whole lot easier to get mad. What if we only thought about Jesus and his redemptive work at the cross? What if we only thought about the work that Jesus wants to do in each of our lives? Pretty sure then we'd be seeing Jesus in the mirror when we wake up.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the only thing we think about, if that's the only thing we live in, that's what we're going to see.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to see what we want to see. And I want to see Jesus. I
want to
see God move in ways that change our community.
That's right.
That starts with us. That starts with our identity. Scripture tells us that he's already moving. He's going out and prepping the fields.
Mm-hmm.
The fields are prepped. Let's leave here today confident and covered and energized. As we go into Thanksgiving, when we're sitting there and family starts bringing up politics, say, no, I want to talk about Jesus. Right? That's what I'm thankful for this Thanksgiving. When I count my many blessings and I start at the top, it starts with Jesus.
Amen.
It starts what he's done for us.
That's right.
If you guys could stand, and we're going to go to prayer this morning, and the altars are going to be open. But I want you guys to think about that. Think about those two things. Are you actively committing identity fraud? Are you in the midst of an identity crisis? Has the devil told you something that's not scripturally based? Have you not accepted Jesus Christ? And maybe you've accepted Jesus, but maybe the devil's been telling you some lies lately. Maybe the enemy's been able to throw some flaming arrows at us and somehow it got through that armor, or we forgot to put our armor on. Let's pray. Jesus, I just come to you with a thankful heart. I thank you for who you are and what you've done, God. I thank you for the opportunity to share your word. Lord, I thank you for the teachings of Paul and the truth that we know of what we can have in you, Jesus. I thank you for that freedom. God, I thank you that you chose to dwell in me. I'm thankful that you adopted me, that you loved me. Lord, I just pray for everyone in this room right now that if they don't know that love, if they don't know that adoption, if they don't know the inheritance they can have through you, that they give it over to you. God, my heart is so thankful. I'm thankful for the ability to be confident and covered by your blood. It's your blood that I have that freedom and hope, Jesus. Jesus, I just ask that you go through these pews right now, that you tug at every heart, and that if somebody's not just sure that they're confident and covered, or just maybe the enemy's been telling them some lies here recently, Lord, and they were starting to stick. Lord, I just ask that you grab a hold of their heart. Through your Spirit, you help them pray, and that they can put on that body of armor, Lord. That they can stand firm in the truth that you love them, that you chose them, that you are who you say you are, God. Lord, we know that you are the way. We do. We know that the only way that we can be redeemed is by your blood. Scripture tells us, Jesus. Scripture tells us that you loved us so much that you gave your Son. And it's by his blood that we are redeemed. Father, I just ask that you grab a hold of every heart this morning, that they know that, that they live in that, that they trust in that. Jesus, if they're living in it, make them bold. Make them courageous. Empower them. Empower them so that when they see others, Lord, that Jesus is what people see. Let us die to ourselves, Jesus. That it's you that lives within us. Lord, I'm so thankful. Lord, I ask that you be with the needs in the church this morning. I know we've got many medical and physical needs, Father. I just ask that you, as the great healer, give them a physical healing touch. Lord, I ask that you be with the mental and emotional needs in the church, the ones that aren't talked about as often, God, but they're just as real and just as present. And the truth is, the enemy's going to try and use those illnesses and those attacks against us. He's going to tell us those things that aren't true about us. Lord, help us stand firm in the truth of who you are and what you tell us in your word, that you love us. Lord, let us leave here confident and covered and in your armor, ready for the battle today. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You guys may be seated.